Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
This is the big leagues, okay?
Yeah, step it up.
You're riding the pine.
There's little kids in Australia who want to play cricket, and they're listening to TJ and I talk about sports, say, God, one day I can be talked about on Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ. I are on the internet. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's worldwide.
Okay. Really, you have no idea.
With Kyle and TJ.
We're also incredibly modest.
Yeah, we are. We don't have egos, big heads. Listen, we're the best. And if there's anybody else out there trying to stake claim to that, you got to tell. We'll tell them they're wrong.
Sometimes when you're the fight you.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're the best, you're the best. And that's just the way it is.
We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
TJ and I, we're grinding away. We're pros. To be honest with you, we pulled off the weeks before you. We'll pull off the weeks well after you're gone.
Who knows what'll take your life.
And we'll pull off the weeks, you know, in the middle when you decide to take random vacations.
Here on this rugged patch of earth called Plataea, Xerxes' hordes face obliteration! Just there, the barbarians huddle. Sheer terror gripping tight. Their hearts, with icy fingers, knowing full well what merciless horrors they suffered at the swords and spears of three...
Listen up, Rome. Your time's past, chump. Move it along. You live in the jungle. Cute. You know what that was clever? 96. It's 2012, guys.
We're showing them it's 2012.
Yeah, Rome.
Get out of here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Joining you from the far end of the bench, near the water cooler, in overtime, before extra innings, you get the point. Here's Kyle and TJ.
Russ, what can you do for the team? You never heard of a knuckle puck?
I feel like we say this every time. I'm just that seasoning, man. You're the steak, I make the steak even better. I'm the seasoning on top.
It's knuckle puck time!
He winds up! He scores!
Welcome back. Another week, TJ. My goodness, after about six of being out of the dungeon, two in a row.
It's not feeling
very odd. We're back. Better than ever here, Riding the Pine.
That's
another
right.
week.
Nothing will ever keep us down, not even middle-aged Mai Tai podcasting.
No, no, and they're trying. They're currently trying to do that.
After this week's episode, I see them going down a peg.
I feel like I should initiate a rivalry with them, because if middle-aged men Muay Thai doesn't have a Facebook page that I can attack and troll, they're not doing it right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that a Muay Thai was an alcoholic beverage all mm-hmm. these years, and now I downloaded their podcast, and I'm a frequent listener, and I know that it's some kind of martial arts.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely martial. And the fact that even for a split second, TJ, it was a split second too long where they had more listeners than we did.
For a long time.
You know, I can understand that we were down a little bit after our long hiatus, but that is unacceptable. First day, we had some West Virginia church beating us. Mm-hmm. What are you podcasting about? What does a West church Virginia things. Church have to say in a podcast
Kyle.
That they need to distribute online?
Kyle, the Bible's like 1,200 pages. There's the Bible is such a large book, it has like 70 books in it.
Yeah, and you know what the sad part is? You know there's some families down there who leave the church sermon and they're like, well, let's download last week's podcast and listen to it on the way home.
Well, you know, I mean, and there's a long drive between stops in West Virginia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's town one and town two.
It takes 3 hours to hike over the mountain.
It takes 2.5 hours just to get to the local Cracker Barrel.
It's actually not feasible to go to church, so that's how they disseminate their religion.
Yeah. But hey, we're on the rise. This episode right here is going to put us over the top, going to put us right over the hump. I don't think we're ever going to beat Disco Dave's Techno House Mix. Mm. Apparently that's a thing people listen to.
Well, that sounds like a formidable opponent.
If I am ever bored and I start texting you, like, hey, man, I just downloaded this House Mix podcast from Disco Dave. It's your responsibility to put me down.
Yeah, tell me.
Put me down like a sick dog.
You didn't even have to say it. Just say no more.
Yeah.
There will be a bullet in your future.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to know, but I'm going to know it's coming because I shouldn't have even mentioned anything.
Or I don't know, man. Netflix just got Dexter, so I've watched it for 3 days, and I'm on season 3.
Okay.
And so I might tranquilize you and stab you in the
heart. Well, that's the perfect point for you, and let me just interject right now. You can just go ahead and call it quits after season 4.
Okay, good. There's only 4 seasons on Netflix. So
good. Yeah, 5, 6, 7. Honestly, 4 is forgettable. 5, 6, 7 are an abomination.
There's
There's 7. Actually,
no.
There's 8.
How is... No.
The final season, 8, just wrapped up, and I will say this. They shot less than 50% from the field.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know how they were going to recover after the end of season 2. And season 3 has been pretty stimulating thus far. So they have rebounded. But
season 3 is the best.
Is it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good.
I think we're talking about the same season. I believe so.
Yes, with Miguel Prado, the assistant district attorney.
Maybe I'm a season off.
Yeah.
But either way, it is forgettable after whatever you're watching, and you do need to stop. I told my girlfriend the same thing. She downloaded and started to watch Weeds. And I said, well, there's a couple of good years, and then... Seriously, after season 2 or 3, you need to quit because it goes on for 6 more. They're never funny. They're never as good as what it was.
I did quit after 2 seasons.
Good man.
I watched about 6 episodes of season 3 and said, this is not good anymore.
You enjoyed the peak. You enjoyed the peak. That's what you did.
This is not good anymore, and it will go nowhere. There's literally nowhere this can possibly go that will be entertaining.
Never positive. But needless to say, thanks for everyone for helping us out in Podomatic. You can find the link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RidingThePine. Use the Twitter handle at RidingThePine3. Fantasy football questions, they've been a bit thin lately, but we always do welcome those. Start putting a weekly post out there on Sundays and Saturdays for any of your questions, whether it be on Twitter or Facebook. It's always that's part of the – I really enjoy doing that, TJ. I think you do too. One of the reasons we started this podcast was for fantasy football purposes. Now it's evolved, but that's still the base of what I really enjoy doing, talking football fantasy purposes and helping people out.
I do really enjoy talking about fantasy football, considerably less enjoy playing it, but...
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we could just be, like, paid consultants.
Yes. That's good.
I think that's a career we should look into. Like, whatever that Gomer-looking guy who is on ESPN is, Heisenberg, something like that, whatever. There's a couple.
No idea.
There's jobs out there, TJ, with your and I's name on them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled Chris Durham out of a hat last week. That deserves a job.
You did. He caught a touchdown. He caught one pass. It was a touchdown.
That's all that matters.
It is.
All that matters. I also very happy with the turnout of the Carolina-San Francisco game.
Yeah.
My last second switch to the upset there. I'm telling you, something about San Francisco. Until Michael Crabtree comes back, they have no threat down the football field, and Colin Kaepernick is not the same quarterback as he was last year.
I mean, when your tight end is the only vertical threat that you have,
that's sad.
You're not going to be doing very well.
And that tight end is not Jimmy Graham.
No, and Colin Kaepernick is a ghost of himself from last year.
He is.
I don't know what's happened to him. He's non-existent.
Yeah, I think the league's a little bit different because last year was all about the read option and running quarterbacks. Now, look at there's nobody running. Literally, the best running quarterback was Jake Locker.
Russell Wilson's running the ball well.
Russell Wilson is. Yeah, Russell Wilson's finding the end zone. He's also running smartly.
Yes.
I'm very surprised. I can't say I'm very surprised. I was kind of trying to warn people off, and I think you were too, TJ, about Kaepernick. I believe you got...
I took Kaepernick.
You took Kaepernick on value alone.
Yeah.
But I think you and I were both kind of warning people away from him, considering he'd only started, 7 NFL games.
Yeah, and I mean, that offense is...
It's miserable.
It's not it wasn't explosive last year.
No, and you got worse.
It certainly wasn't going. I mean, it was no secret that Crabtree was going to miss a ton of time.
Yeah, that wasn't some well kept secret from the NFL or opponents. And like you said, when your tight end's your best offensive threat, and you decide to move away from running the ball and try to force the ball downfield to a non downfield receiver, it's kind of confusing what's going on out there. I really thought that division race would be really tight, but if you look at it right now, San Francisco is in an absolute dogfight just to make the playoffs.
Arizona's 5-4, and yeah. No one ever talks about them.
And you're talking
them being a threat.
And they're six. I mean, San Francisco's 6-3, but so is Chicago. Or Chicago's a game back. Green Bay's a game back, tied with Carolina right now. And Carolina now has the tiebreaker. It is getting real tight. San Francisco, a year removed from we may be a playoff, go through a whole playoffs without these Super Bowl competitors from 1 year ago.
Oh yeah, Ravens aren't making the playoffs.
Ravens aren't making it. And the 49ers kind of on the outside looking in right now. They really need to make a run.
I'd be interested to see what their remaining schedule is, because if they still have, I know they still have one game with Seattle, and I think they have another game with Arizona too. So there's two real tough ones right there.
Yeah, that you have to win.
And then this week they play New Orleans. So
yeah, and if they lose this week, I think the panic button's getting pressed over San Francisco.
Oh yeah, especially with Arizona's matchup with the Jaguars. So I mean, there's potential for them to both be 6-4.
I'm kind of surprised that they did not improve their offense at all in the offseason, it seems like. I mean, you get Anquan Boldin.
They got Anquan Boldin. He's the number one.
For 1 week, I think the NFL went, man, they did it again. And then everyone's like, oh, hang on.
Oh, that's right.
No.
You're 35.
Hey, that's cute. Try to run again. Come on. Is that a linebacker or a wide receiver?
Hey, no, I'll give you a 5-yard head start. Try to break this coverage.
It's kind of adorable. So I'm kind of reveling in that victory of picking the Carolina upset, as well as trying to talk people away from the Kaepernick ledge that they have so jumped over, so head over heels. I mean, it happens every year. There's one or two guys like that, and it's happened this year with RG3 as well, to where everybody thought, well, he says he's healthy. Clearly he wasn't.
Yeah.
And clearly he's not the same guy. If he does not have his feet beneath him and can make plays with his feet, he's a pocket passer. And if he's just a pocket passer, go with Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's what he's done for his career. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're pretty similar passers.
But yeah, this is, in terms of NFL season, and maybe it's because our team is right there right now, but this is some tight stuff. I was looking through the NFL standings last week, and how many teams at 5-4 or 6-3? I mean, this playoff hunt is out of the 16 teams deep right now, at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's at least three or four teams for every wild card spot going on right now. It's going to be a great season unless we miss the playoffs, TJ.
That would be brutal, especially considering all of the lucky breaks that have gone the Lions' way this year with Aaron Rodgers out for a month. Jay Cutler consistently injured. The Bears' defense turning into the Lions' defense.
Yeah, I would argue, though, that they've had a few go against them as well. You talk about the Bengals game where that was kind of a stroke of poor luck. But every team, I think it all balances out at the end of the year, unless you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then it always goes against you.
Or, I mean, if you want to consider what the Jaguars are doing, balance.
Yeah, that's offensive and defensive balance of being miserable.
Yes.
It's actually, they're doing the best job of it I've seen in a long time.
Hey, they are executing their plan to be number one overall in the draft.
I will say this. You had to be drafted to one team right now, Tampa Bay or Jacksonville, you pick.
I pick Jacksonville.
You are going to Jacksonville over Tampa.
Absolutely, because I know that I'm going to be a quarterback that's getting taken number one.
Okay.
And I get to throw to Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon if he gets off
drugs.
There's really nothing to look forward to in Tampa Bay unless you like staph infections.
That's a good point. And that is a tough call. Yeah, I don't think Greg Schiano's a real player-friendly type of coach. But that's a tough call. That's a good question right there.
I feel like being coached by Greg Schiano would be the equivalent of being the unathletic kid in like a middle school gym class.
Oh yeah,
like your gym teacher is your coach.
Yeah, and just to throw a third team in there, just for giggles, let's throw in the Jets. I go Jacksonville. I'm not interested in that disaster up there.
I'm also, yeah, I don't want to live in New Jersey.
I don't want to work in New Jersey. I don't want to be near New Jersey. I definitely don't want to work there or live there.
I'm really not a fan of the stench.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost as bad as the state of Wyoming.
Well, whatever state Nate's in at that point in time.
And it looks like he's crossed another border. Bummer for you, Kentucky. As if things weren't already bad enough, now you have Nader Todd and your borders.
Bummer for you, Kentucky. Nate doesn't have any sisters.
He won't let that get in the way, though. He'll use your brothers.
Oh, boy. That's your weekly Nader Todd.
You got to get a few in, you know?
Yeah.
You can't let him go unscathed.
No, you can't.
I saw him mention something to an acquaintance of his. I believe it was on Twitter, maybe Facebook, that he'll be home around the holidays, where I think I'm hopeful, and I think you are too, to have him in here. Mm. Maybe a recording or two. Mm. Well, just in here. I don't want him to talk.
Well, he doesn't do that.
No, I always enjoy when he can just stand there and just, you know, we can look at him when we insult him. That's why it makes it a little better.
He can make water runs for us.
Yeah. Yeah, but Nate!
I'm a little parched. Nate. My voice is a little scratchy.
Could you be a sweetheart and go get me a tall glass? Tall glass? Yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out, though.
Also, why don't you go ahead and just sit in front of that door so the Ghostbusters don't bust in us?
Yeah, and I so wish I want to set up a flip cam, because it happened again just about 5 minutes ago, where we were perilously close to the Ghostbuster vacuum breaking down the door again.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to start taping something on the door during the week, but I think I want video of this.
They can't read
every week, because I need people to understand from my point of view how distracting it is, TJ. I have you in my line of sight for the most part, but that's a porthole window, and when someone's mug fills it up and all I hear is the sucking sound of a Ghostbuster, it gets a little bit of my attention.
You feel the need to swear and yell out.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, I get a little angry. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
And who would?
Yeah, yeah.
I also don't like being watched while I sleep.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Change, you know?
That's the same thing. Okay.
It is the same thing.
Goodness. Well, don't let that NFL talk get in the way of what's really, what time of year it really is, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's basketball season.
Yes, it is.
And with basketball season comes the.
Things are really heating up in the NBA.
Yeah, they are. I believe they're.
Break it down.
I believe they're 1 month in, so by my account, they've all played 4 games.
You're not far off.
We've had more news stories about Kobe Bryant and his Achilles than we have anybody else in the NBA.
Well, that's an important storyline.
We're already wondering if the Heat are in a slump. These are all just my guesses. Yep. And the Cavaliers are still cute and adorable and in Cleveland.
They are.
Well, that's good.
They enjoy the number one overall pick.
Oh, my goodness. If you're Kyrie Irving, when you see them pick Anthony Bennett, do you just throw your arms up in disgust? Like, is he already plotting his exit in however many years?
You do throw your arms up in disgust, unless this is your last year, and then you're like, awesome, sweet.
Yeah, whatever. I'm leaving this Titanic. I don't know how you make such a monumental. I don't know how you make such a monumental mistake. They would have been better off picking Nerlens Noel, who is physically not going to touch a basketball court this year.
No, he will not.
Oh.
But he would be a better pick.
Yes, he would.
Because at least he is not shooting 5% from the floor.
Yes, he would. And in hindsight, that Andrew Bynum trade for the Philadelphia 76ers turned out great.
It did.
That was a great deal for them.
Well,
they got Bynum.
Andrew Bynum is still ruining every franchise he touches.
Yeah,
good for him.
They made a good deal, because what they got out of Andrew Bynum, let me run down his stat line for you 1 second here. 4 haircuts. He literally had 4 hairstyles.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's what they traded him for.
That's what they traded him for as well. They got some fresh fish.
They got a team barber.
Yeah, that's it for a week. Everybody got one haircut. Complimentary. Well, the NBA season's here, and the NBA, I would argue, more than any other league, is you hear about the refs in the NBA more than most.
Well, yeah, because they're terrible.
They usually are really terrible. I mean, basketball in general, I would argue, and I shouldn't say that, and specifically, it is, I would argue it's one of the more It's probably the hardest sport to actually referee. The running back and forth, you know, the movement in small spaces.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a real good handle on it, but there's some...
I don't know, man. I mean, when I play pickup basketball, it's not that hard to keep a handle on.
That's true. But one of the notorious... I actually have two stories listed in a row of douche and douche. And one of the most notorious douches in refereeing is Joey Crawford. Now, Joey Crawford, my most known memory of him is ejecting Tim Duncan because he was laughing on the bench.
Yes.
He did not like Tim Duncan laughing, and he walked up to Tim Duncan on the bench and threw him out of the game.
Yes.
This is the kind of guy Joey Crawford is. He's a short, fat, bald man who has to be an inferiority complex.
Well, he's what everyone hates about referees who think that everyone's there to see them, that they're in the spotlight.
Yeah,
and that,
ref show.
That this is my game, and I'm not going to let this get out of hand.
Yeah.
You are going to abide by my rules.
It's the expression for baseball of ump show, but this is ref show. You'll get that occasionally. And I think I would go out on a limb and say I would rather have Tim Donaghy ref a game than Joey Crawford.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't even care. I'd probably ask him who he bet on.
I wouldn't care either, as long as...
Help him chase some points.
I mean, he's not going to call any worse fouls than any other ref.
No.
I mean, really.
No, absolutely not. Well, this is what happened. This is the most recent episode, and you hear the announcers. They actually do discuss it, which kudos to them, because they are close. And this is one of those things where Joey Crawford could probably hear him. But this is something that needs to be said.
Well, you know it's a league-wide thing, and every team's like, oh, Joey Crawford's reffing tonight.
Yeah.
Great. The media gets their roster sheets and the ref sheets are like, okay, referees tonight, Joey Crawford, great.
Yeah.
This is going to be a four-hour game now.
Yeah.
Free throw contest.
It's the same way America feels when they find out Country Joe West is umpiring a baseball game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same feeling. Well, this is the most recent episode of Joey Crawford.
He called for the draft. The Sixers defense, and there's just energy.
So what happened? Well, it's kind of mid-play. That's not really essential. You'll hear Joey Crawford right about here pick up with his nonsense.
And there's just energy and tenacity. It's taken total control of this game. They were down 14 at one point, and they've seized total control of this game, 66-55. It's still over 3 minutes to play in the third quarter.
Carter Williams, Thad Young out.
Now, if you can't tell, that's Joey Crawford barking at a young kid like a dog to get over here as he whistles.
It's a dog command.
That really is. I honestly would not treat my animals like that.
No.
And that's what he's doing to another person.
Upset Joey Crawford.
And now you hear the announcer start to address it as you see a young kid walk over with his mop. Now, there's a sweat spot or a slick spot on the floor that Crawford wanted cleaned up, so he whistled at him. The kid starts pushing his mop over there, but apparently this wasn't good enough.
Oh, don't want to do that.
Let's be clear here, too. This spot is out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. Way out of bounds.
This is not even on the court where the slick spot is.
Yeah, the mop boy was actually on the other side of the court. He had to run cross court.
I don't think it's his responsibility to clean up beer spills that the guys in the front row are sloshing everywhere.
Yeah, so sorry. Hang on, let me get this Bud Light spill so whatever from the 76ers doesn't slip.
So unknown man won.
Yeah.
I don't even know who plays.
Name a 76er right now.
I did see from the first 4 seconds of the clip they signed an alien to play for them, so that's good.
That's good news. Well, you got to have some marketing in there, so that works.
Put the ball boy out. I didn't come over there quick enough. Look at him. Don't you know how much this beer?
So he shoos him away as if he's done.
Costs.
And he blows the whistle again. Like, first of all, the whistle is not an attention-seeking tool. The whistle is to...
Yeah.
Officiate stoppages of play.
Yeah, he apparently didn't like the hustle of this mop
boy.
This mop boy didn't run to the slick spot. He just kind of sauntered over.
And that is honestly what he's doing because he calls him back to lecture him here.
Yes.
This beer cost? You can't leave this beer on the floor.
And he wants another ball boy now. He wants two more.
Well, this guy doesn't even have a mop.
No, they called and listen to the crowd actually boo him.
Oh, Joey. So on his Philadelphia side, the booze from the Wells Fargo.
He's staring at him.
Come on, Joey. Chill. Stall him out, Joey.
I mean, this animal in the front row clearly spills his beer all over the baseline.
Yeah.
And can't even be bothered to clean it up himself.
No.
Or make any effort.
Yeah.
I paid good money for these seats.
Hey.
Hey, you cleaning up my beer spill, it comes with the ticket.
Hey, I read the back of this ticket, and it says I ain't no janitor.
And it also
so get that little kid over here with a towel and a rag and a fresh beer right now.
And then after that, she showed me her cans.
And that's part of the ticket, too.
Get over here, broad. I need a lap dance.
Hey, you silly bimbo. Make your way down.
I don't think this is how people in Philly talk, but...
Well, then we can just be jerks to everyone. That's the impression.
As far as
Philly
I'm concerned,
people.
this is how you sound because you're acting like such an animal.
Yeah, you are.
He's still looking at him. That's a different one.
And he was being serious. Joey Crawford stared down this kid across the court, eyeballing him. Oh my goodness!
I mean, it was an absurd call to bring the mop guy over to clean up a beer spill in the first place.
Yeah.
He's got to rub that on the court in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to fall down. He's going to have to use that mop again. Towels were definitely the way to go.
Clearly. Yeah, what is a mop going to do? Hang on, this spot's wet. You should definitely get it more wet with your mop.
Clearly, this is how Joey Crawford also treats his wife at home.
Oh, my God. There's no way he's married.
Hey, broad. Get over here. I just spilled some milk on the floor.
Hey. Tweed! You see this? I don't pay you to not vacuum the floors. Next time, hurry with that Hoover.
My socks are going to get wet if I walk in that, eh?
Do I look like I'm about to go make a banana strawberry smoothie walking through this puddle?
This wasn't on our marriage certificate. It's included.
You know he brings the whistle at the house. You know he uses it.
Oh, he does.
You know his wife's cheating on him. Many basketball players.
Yeah, his fourth wife.
And rightfully so.
Yes.
And absolutely rightfully so. The next story we have, this is longtime noted douche, Mike Leach, TJ.
Yes.
Is he a head coach anywhere right now?
I thought he was. Couldn't tell you where.
A quick Google search of this.
Washington State, maybe?
That sounds about right. I think he is in the Pac-12 yet.
See?
Washington State, the Cougars!
What a pull. Man.
The Cougars.
Well, they're doing big things. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Washington State making a real dent in the Pac-12.
I hear they might make a run.
Yeah, by physically being there.
They are making a dent.
Well, a long time ago, he was the head coach of Texas Tech. Now on to bigger and better things with his quarterback,
clearly.
Graham Harrell. Now in the, I believe we just found out, he is in the NFL, correct?
He is on the practice squad for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengal practice squad. TJ and I did a little investigation before the episode tonight. But Mike Leach, the head coach, now he was a notorious hothead. He ended up losing his job at Texas Tech. This was the famous case of apparently he locked
abuse.
A player in a shed in the summer, and his dad found out about it. And a lot of hubbub came about it. Leach, rightfully so, lost his job over it, has now made his way. I believe he was a commentator for a year, has now been and is now at Washington State, like we just said. Well,
that was a pretty epic battle of douches, by the way, because
Craig James
is also a noted douche.
Yeah, right up there. That's a race between 1A and 1B.
And he was, I mean, it was pretty bad what Mike Leach did, but
yeah.
Craig James was clearly using his pedestal on ESPN to kind of broadcast this and get this guy axed.
And now Craig James without work.
Yes.
He can't get work and he can't get work anywhere about it. So
the lesson here, as always, is treat others as you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a life lesson.
Joey Crawford.
We're turning over a new leaf here.
Yeah, we are.
Riding the pine.
We absolutely are. We're going to start giving you life advice like Delilah.
And then in the next segment, we will tell you why the kid with cancer is a glory hound.
Oh, that's a funny story. Before we get into this, now TJ's putting together a little package for the podcast here so we can have some content of ours, the few moments of quality we've established over the 35 weeks we've been doing this.
In the 50 hours of content we have, we have to have at least.
It's got to be 8 minutes, right? Somewhere.
I'm gunning for five.
Yeah. Well, we were discussing what bits or what we thought about we should try to include in there, and we both agree that our shining moment was our discussion of the Glory Hound Cancer Kid. But I don't know how well that works sending off to prospective employers.
It's not a great first impression.
You us both laughing at this kid with cancer who wanted all the glory to himself. Well, I don't know if that's going to get us a gig.
Wasn't laughing at his cancer. I don't think cancer's funny at
all. That's a good point.
I do think people who are given things because of their situation and then completely...
He's a douche!
I'm going to try and word this
as
correctly as I can, who revel in the spotlight and banish anyone who tries to soak in their glory as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what that...
What he's trying to say is he was a douche. He was a douche.
Made a douche.
Yeah. This kid was a douche, and he happened to have cancer.
Yeah.
Now, that's not exactly what he is.
Hey. People with cancer can have terrible personalities,
too. You're darn right.
Just look at Walter White.
Ooh.
Boom.
Nice pull.
Yeah.
Take that. Well, Mike Leach, like we said, noted douche, when he was the head coach of Texas Tech, took on Texas. Obviously, a big rivalry game down there.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
Maybe it was for
few
years.
For Texas Tech. It's like when Central Michigan plays Michigan State.
Yeah, does anybody really care?
This is a huge rivalry
That's
for us.
That's a good point. Like, they're in the same state, whatever. Sometimes it is a rivalry, most times it's probably not.
It's never a rivalry.
Know? Yeah, like, is Eastern and Western worthwhile? Like, no, it's not. No.
I mean, it's only worthwhile if you're wondering which players you'll never see in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's all watch these last kids waste their college education and end up not having a degree under the illusion that they're about to make the NFL.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
It's like when I go to football games at our D2 school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same feeling. Watching these. Oh, this is cool. They're realizing their last moments of their dreams. That's nice for them.
Which is also how I felt my last semester of school.
Yeah. Yeah. What I really want to do at a D2 game or a D3 is just really, like, just, you know, kind of pat them on the head when they walk out. It'll be okay, guys.
Hey, listen, we're all in the same boat.
Used car salesmen die every day, and they need to replenish that stock.
Holidays are coming up.
Everybody's going to want.
People's going to be hiring.
Yeah, everybody wants your car. Listen.
Hey, they're putting in a new Taco Bell a mile from campus.
There is nothing wrong with stocking third shift in a warehouse, if that's what it is.
Everyone has their role.
Everyone has their role. And for the most part, your education is going to land you somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, you're not alone.
No, you're not.
You have all of your brothers on the team that'll be right there with
you. Yeah, you can all go. Maybe you can all go to the interview together. Well, Mike Leach, during this game, Graham Harrell actually told this story. And there was a call that was made, a play reviewed, overturned. Mike Leach wasn't happy. So Graham Harrell, who was the Texas Tech quarterback, told this story. In the third quarter, sideline. And I don't know how this wasn't caught on television, TJ.
I don't either.
Baffling.
2007?
That's not far enough away that it was like out of the technological era.
Yeah, that's not the 1500s.
Yeah, exactly. There were phones. There were a lot of cameras on the field at that time. The third quarter, he's pulling out his cell phone. He always wanted to talk between series, so he's talking to me, and he pulls his cell phone out. And now who does he call? The commissioner of the Big 12, like a speed dial, like number six.
I like that he has him on there.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, he's not listed in the phone as, you know, Big 10 or Big 12.
Yeah, no, it's King Douche. It's
like, or like if his name's Michael or something, he's got Mikey in there or something ridiculous.
Mikey G. Hey, Mikey!
Or we find out he's in speed dial is like the devil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 666. I'm going to call him again.
Speed dial 666.
Now, in my mind, Mike Leach, because he's not a real fit man, but in my mind, he's on the sidelines.
He does have some boobs.
Yeah. In my mind, he's on the sidelines, and he's trying to fish this old flip phone out of his pocket, and his fat fingers can't get under it to open it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's yelling around, "Hey! Hey! Jay! You know how to use this thing?"
Well, it's just like when Nader Tot would text during the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd see him over there punching the screen.
Punching away.
I mean, just praying that they were hitting the right buttons.
My goodness.
Just mashing and hoping someone can interpret his nonsense.
Yeah, you're better off closing your eyes and just going and like, that's it. And then just send. Like, you might get a word out of that autocorrect. Who knows, you know?
Well, this word is spelled G-H-E-R-T-Y. Yeah. I mean, all those letters are next to the letters that would spell hey. So I think that's hey.
So you just have to radius every letter and figure out what the possibilities are, then narrow it down.
You actually have to take a course to understand Nader Tot's text
messages. It's like a children's code when you used to write letters in code.
It's like Sunday morning when you're eating your cereal and watching the
news. Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at the back of the box and trying to figure out the puzzle.
Yeah. Well,
C's are actually A's.
Yeah, but Nader Tot's more complex. Like I said, you got to use the whole square around the letter.
Exactly.
So after Mike Leach called 911 on accident 3 times, he finally got a hold of the Big 12 commissioner to honestly.
It's an emergency. And my boys are being robbed.
Yeah, and he started cussing out the commissioner of the conference, telling him, these refs are screwing us. You better watch my post-game press conference because I've got some stuff to say.
Why even wait till the post-game press conference? You've got him on the phone right there.
Yeah, just let him have it. Just let him have it. And sure enough, it does finish up that Leach did, in his presser, he did let the refs have it. Now, this is something nowadays that they just don't allow it. Like, if you go after the refs like that, you get fined, you get whatever, actions taken. But apparently Mike Leach with speed dial Big 12 commissioner is better than that.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone's trying to cheat.
I don't know why.
Cheat in the Texas Tech game.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if... I never thought that coaches carry their phones. I just assumed, like, hey, they're kind of in the game. They're not playing Angry Birds. They don't need their phone, you know?
Candy Crush is very, very addicting.
Yeah, might as well knock out another level while they got the ball, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is 2007, so, I mean, this is kind of...
What was he playing?
Before smartphones, even.
Yeah, was he playing Minesweeper?
Had his iPod on him. He was playing Boggle.
Yeah. Sitting there shaking the screen. Yeah, they did find him.
Why are there 4 QUs on this board?
They fined him $10,000, which holds the record still as the largest fine in the conference history.
That's shocking.
That's terrible. That means they're letting people get away with murder down there.
Yeah. Although I can't think of any significant figures outside of
good
Mike,
point.
Mike Gundy.
Good,
that's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
He seems like he should have been fined about $1 million
by now.
Probably
seems like he probably shouldn't even be working by now.
He is a little bit of a lunatic.
Yeah, he's a crazy man. I would not want to get in his way. The next story we got here, this is a long time. He's noted, apparently by fans, he's kind of noted as a real D-hole.
We've had a noted douche, a noted douche.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is also a noted douche, but... Mm-hmm. Also a noted dick.
Yeah, he is. This guy's grade A. Now, Dolphins general manager Jeff Ireland, he's in the news right now for his handling of the Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin thing and how it's kind of blown up in his face, and I think he may get in some trouble if they find out he was a part of the group that told Incognito you need to toughen Martin up. It may come down in his head as well, but previously in the news and I didn't know this was verified, TJ, this came out a couple of years ago, that Dez Bryant during the combine was asked if his mother was a prostitute. Well, it was apparently verified.
I remember that happening, and at the time they didn't, I don't think they named the team or the general manager or executive that asked it.
No.
But I'm so not surprised it was
No,
Jeff
and
Ireland.
That's the thing. I didn't know it either, and this article confirmed that. I don't know how they confirmed it. But it was Jeff Ireland who asked Dez Bryant if his mother was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. So far out of bounds of anything that should be okay to ask in anywhere, ever.
I mean, this isn't your college buddy.
No.
This is a kid.
No.
I mean, this guy's 30, 40 years younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
He's also very large. And very strong, and he probably would have punched your face off.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Take some cojones to ask that question, but also, you know, kind of a negative attitude there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, apparently, and I don't know in what universe anybody would ever want this, but a signed business card by Jeff Ireland, the Dolphins general manager. If I had known about this, TJ, I would have taken anything out of my 401k I could have and bid on it.
I would have used all of the remainder from my FAFSA from my last semester at college.
Spent it
on that because, you know what? That's not a purchase. That's an investment.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's going to grow over time in profitability.
I mean, it's just like when you buy retro video games. Those are only going to go up in value.
Mm-hmm.
No one will ever become sick of the garbage graphics and gameplay.
Yeah, never. Never. How could they? This thing came online, and apparently what they forgot to do was to take the personal contact information from Jeff Ireland off of this card, or at least scratch it off or block it out, whatever it may be. So this picture alone on eBay caused quite a stir. It had Jeff Ireland's personal information. And now there were multiple reports of the phone number being true and the voicemail being an actual Jeff Ireland voicemail. Well, when your team's kind of down in the dumps and you're having a PR scandal, those voicemails aren't going to be, you know, it's not like you're talking to Bob Kraft, like, hey, Bob, thanks for the years of winning and success, and I can't believe the team you've put together again with whatever.
Well, yeah, it's really poor timing for him to be in a scandal like this and then this to happen, because I don't think people are as inclined to call someone like that unless they're in the news for something
and
people can take their jabs at them.
Mm-hmm. And they did. Yeah, and they did.
And rightfully so.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
One person said they just left a voicemail of him just laughing hysterically for about a minute. And
I mean, what else would you do?
But the best one was this one, where they decided, well, his email's on there. Maybe I'll just sign him up for every creepy porn site that they have, including grandma's, Russian shemale stockings.
Pregnant,
Someone signed and someone posted it to Twitter. Pretty much all of these subscriptions are now his, going right to his email inbox.
Oh, anime, shaving, piercing.
Oh, yeah.
Feet. No, this isn't Jeff Ireland's email.
No, this is Rex Ryan. This is Rex Ryan. Pantyhose? Apparently people are into that.
Rex Ryan freaked out when he saw this picture.
Yeah.
He didn't read the article, but he saw down there at the bottom free feet porn. He was like, no!
What's a guy got to do to click on that?
He was excited to see that, less excited to see all the rest.
Yeah, this is kind of every disgruntled fan's dream, is to be able to kind of let your GM have it for being terrible at his job.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have... Can't say I would have actually been one to do this. Did the article say when this... Is this a recently signed business card?
Or I don't know.
Was this something someone was holding on to? Whoa, that was weird. Something someone was holding on to, and they just recently decided, hey, this guy's in the news. Let's post this on eBay and remove all of his personal information.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like maybe his email or his phone number would have changed if it's over the course of a longer period of time.
Yeah, who knows? And it says it didn't have his, technically not his personal cell phone and Hotmail account, but it was definitely his, like his line in his office and things.
Okay.
You know, those were the ones getting blown up. But I guess another fan called apparently and left the message of him playing a version of Creep by Radiohead, because why wouldn't that fit for Jeff Ireland?
Yeah, no, that fits perfectly. Yeah. There's a lot of good songs that you could have gone with, but I can't disagree with that one.
Your dream coach, general manager, player to have the personal information of to call and berate via voicemail, TJ.
Player or GM?
Player, GM, coach.
Boy, I'd have to make a list and then narrow it down, but I can tell you Jim Schwartz is high on my list. I'm not a fan. Let me think. Jay Cutler would be fun.
Ooh, Jay Cutler would be fun.
That'd be enjoyable.
Yeah, I know mine. Mine would be Matt Millen.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah, and
you're
this,
so right.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'd say to him, though.
I don't either. How do you express those years of anger?
Would you just go free beer route and say, I want to punch you in the stomach?
Yeah. I don't know if I can quantify my anger towards Matt Millen.
I feel like that would be almost a wasted – that'd be a wasted opportunity, because I feel like he's just gotten it for so long.
And he knows.
His skin is thick. You got to get someone who's fresh and vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it really hurts.
Yeah, all he's going to do is lift up his Super Bowl ring or something stupid.
Yeah.
And ugh. God, I punch him in the stomach is good. That's something I really want to do.
Yeah, because that's all you can do. You're not going to hurt him emotionally.
He doesn't have a soul.
No. That's my point. You have to destroy his body.
Well, TJ, we're moving on to... what was the exact way you referred to the country of Norway to me in a text message earlier this week?
Our glorious internet homeland. I don't know.
It is. It's the place we go for delicious sports humor.
Yeah.
And sure enough...
Oh, hilariously disjointed sports, semi-sports stories, sports-related stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And this qualifies because we're now learning another thing. They play hockey in Norway.
I'm not surprised by that. It's very cold up there.
Yeah.
Scandinavia.
I figure they're near Sweden.
I'm pretty surprised that they have African-American hockey players.
This is crazy.
In Norway, though.
I think we need to be less specific. I can't believe they have a black person in Norway.
Yeah.
Not only
right,
just playing
country.
Hockey, but just an African-American in the country.
Yeah. If the odds are 1,000,000 to 1 in the country, the odds of... on a hockey team have to be like 150 million to 1.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. These are lottery numbers.
Yes. Yeah,
these
exactly.
are lottery style numbers. Well, apparently, this guy, Adrian Alverstein, he plays at Narvik Hockey in Norway.
Yeah. He's Norwegian. Just listen to that last name.
Yeah.
Alverstein.
Yeah.
Adrian.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There must have been some, I don't know how this has happened.
Yeah. This isn't like an American who's not making it in the NHL, so he has to go play in the Norwegian league.
Yeah.
This is Norwegian born and bred.
Are you more or less surprised by the presence of this African-American hockey player in Canada or Norway, TJ?
Canada.
You're going with Canada?
Yeah, because Norway is very peaceful.
Norway is very peaceful.
That's where they have the Nobel Prize committee and selection.
I feel like you don't have... to kill a moose in Norway to prove you belong,
mm-hmm.
whereas you're going to have to do that in Canada.
And I also feel like Canada's a little racist.
Canada's very racist.
To be honest with
you. Oh, yeah. Canada's going to be very racist. That's a fact. That's a fact. Well, what happened was there, Narvik won 8-3 against, I'm sure, an arch rival co-Norwegian team.
Some no doubt excellent team that gives up 8 goals.
Yeah. Well, apparently after the game, Alverstein did not have enough celebrating, just, you know, talking with his teammates, so he took it to the ice a little bit.
Gives a stick to a member of the crowd.
Yeah, threw a stick over the stands, not safe.
That was the entire budget of the team.
And he stands facing the crowd and does a total dance number.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing!
He's twerking on the ice. Now he's...
I'll say this. He dances better.
He's doing that Shaq thing from the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that in Phoenix with the Jabberwockies, is it?
Yeah. I will say this. He dances better with 50 pounds of hockey pads on than I do inebriated in comfortable clothing.
Uh-huh.
This man's on skates, and he looks fantastic doing what he's doing.
Yeah. Maybe it's the house techno music playing.
Maybe.
Maybe they're on. Maybe that podcast is on to something.
That is a nice.
Matt Miller or whatever his name is.
Yeah. That is a nice, healthy beat that they have pumping there. Maybe that's the thing we need to do. Maybe we'll just retitle our podcast, TJ.
Yes.
Riding the Pines Techno Mix. And then we'll fool a ton of people.
Get off the bench and get on the ice. It's time to dance. Or we could just name it.
Yeah. TJ and I here leading you on another week of the best techno house mixes around on Riding the Pines Techno Mix.
Except for you wouldn't be able to hear yourself because there would just be a throbbing beat in the
background. Yeah, and that we're going to need to get wristbands, glow necklaces, all that stuff.
We're going to have to find someone who deals in illegal narcotics.
Oh, my goodness. I want bags of it. I'm just going to throw it at people.
If you've ever seen the movie Bad Boys 2, when they're in the Russian club.
That's how clubs are, aren't
everyone
they?
Everyone is taking ecstasy. That's how it would be in the studio.
Yeah. Isn't that how every club is? Just ecstasy getting thrown, and it's on dance floors.
Yeah,
and
every club I've been to.
Yeah, every Miami nightclub I've gone to has been that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's my life.
Whatever. I mean, I don't like to brag about it.
It's pretty mainstream.
I don't even like to talk about it. It just happens. It's a day-to-day thing.
You
whatever.
Know, cool people don't talk.
And I dance like this.
I couldn't have enough vodka in the world to make me confident
enough
to do that.
Now, something tells me if this was in the NHL, the other team would have come. Look at that guy. That's clearly an opponent standing behind him.
Yeah, Doug the Thug's pissed.
Yeah, and he's about to. He like in the NHL, this would be a fight.
Oh, no doubt.
This would be a fist fight.
Or in Canada, it would be a fight, but not because of the dancing.
Now, another thing we need to mention here, they do a quick crowd shot. And I don't know where this is being held, but maybe they could spring for some heat because everybody in this arena is wearing winter coats, scarves, gloves, and hats.
Yeah. I mean,
it might as well be outdoors.
You've got to keep the ice cold. So, yeah, it really might as well be outdoors because it costs a lot of money to keep ice cold.
Yeah.
And so they're probably not pumping heat into this facility.
No, but I mean
it's a Norwegian hockey league.
That's a good point. What do they even use for money? Like stones?
He gave away his stick to the crowd and they had to immediately cut him.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely. Yeah.
Like,
they can't afford
that's your
that.
Salary.
Yeah. You know how many sticks we provide you? One. Okay.
If you want another stick, you're going to have to chop down a tree and make your own now.
Yeah, and you ruined it. You got the crowd clapping. Whoa. Oh, breakdancing at the end.
That's really easy to do that on ice.
Yeah,
I'm
that's,
not going to lie.
Not
it's
difficult.
Not impressive.
Looks great. I will say this. My temper is of such that if I was the opponent, I would have leveled him.
Yeah,
I would have taken him down, TJ.
You'd have a spot on Team Canada.
You're darn right I would. I would take him down. I don't handle that. Don't handle that.
Not because of the dancing, though.
No, I can't dance like that. We're firm in that. I cannot dance like that.
It's the racism. That's why you would do it.
Oh, it's so blatant up there. Last story before we get into the fantasy football advice as well as the NFL picks for week 11 of the season. I cannot believe it's week 11, by the way, before we get into that. This is...
It's week 11 and the Lions are in first place.
Oh, eat it, NFL.
Suck it.
I so look forward to the NFL season every year, and then it feels like I blink and it's week 8.
Yeah.
And I'm sad. I'm very sad.
Yeah, well, normally I'm sad because, it's week 8 and the season might as well be over. But but there's still 9 weeks left.
I'm normally sad because it's week 8 and the Lions are officially 6 games out of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Like, they need to rattle off 8 in a row and hope for some magic to happen for them to make the playoffs.
All you people who are fans of teams that are good every year just really have no idea what it's like to be completely and utterly done with the NFL by week 7.
Like, listen, let's talk Pats fans. Let's get down and dirty here.
You suck for a long time, but these last 10 years that you've had have been greater than our entire franchise's history.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear any whining that, we haven't won the last 2 Super Bowls we've been in. Boo-hoo. That's unbelievable.
Why don't you talk to me when you have fewer Super Bowls than playoff victories?
Yeah, why don't you talk to us when you miss the playoffs for 12 years in a row? Why don't you talk to us when you go 20 years without winning a playoff game? That's not an exaggeration.
Why don't you go to
20 years?
Why don't you go to Football Reference or whatever it is? Just Google your team's overall record from their franchise's history, and then do that for the Lions, and then compare notes,
and then laugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And while we cry, you can laugh. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Email us when your team goes 0-16.
So forgive us if we're 6-3 and it's week 10, and we're feeling good. We're feeling like we have a chance here.
Yeah. Email us, okay, when your head coach takes the wind going into overtime. Okay? Then we're going to talk about your poor luck, football fans. Even the Jaguars have better history than the Lions.
They do, man.
Conference championship game in the last 10 years.
They had some good players. I feel like we haven't had good players.
The Texans. expansion franchises, TJ, have done far better than the Detroit Lions.
I mean, honestly, this would be like the Charlotte Bobcats making more playoff appearances, making NBA finals appearances.
Mm-hmm.
More than the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing.
It doesn't fit. Like the Lions have been there since the beginning, and they have like no playoff wins in 20 years.
It's like everyone from Michigan who likes all of the Detroit teams, they're like, yeah, Red Wings, Original Six, they're better than everyone else, but then no one ever says anything about the Lions.
No, you're just
the original.
Like, yeah, no, we have.
Yeah, they're there. They play.
Yeah, we have an NFL team, too. It's like... Well, what might as well be an expansion franchise, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, TJ. Tell me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who do you build around? Doug Martin and Darrell Revis? Are those it? Are those literally the two pieces? Gerald McCoy?
Those are the two that stand out. I mean, unless you want to say Vincent Jackson. I don't know. Mike Glennon's okay. He's better than he's better than some quarterbacks.
So now what you're saying is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should start building around okay.
Well, okay is better than absolutely miserable,
yeah.
Which is what they are now.
Yeah, they're not good.
And they're clearly going to build, they're going to try and build around Mike Glennon unless, mm-hmm. you know, they take Manziel or
yeah,
Bridgewater.
Yeah, it's a heavy draft, heavy QB draft. I wouldn't blame them for taking one this year. But needless to say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, an unmitigated mess. 2 years removed, is it from 10-6 or 11-5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad year last year, but I think everybody kind of thought, well, they'll get it back on track this year. Another year under Greg Schiano, who was apparently a disaster of a head coach.
Do you remember that first year when Matthew Stafford was taken number one overall,
mm-hmm.
and then Mark Sanchez was taken
five,
and then Josh Freeman was taken 15, and people would say, I think Sanchez and Freeman are going to be the two quarterbacks that have the best career out of this draft class. And then Freeman went 10-6 in his rookie year, and everyone was like, oh, Josh Freeman.
This is the guy.
Lions missed one again.
Yeah.
Sanchez is in the AFC Championship game. Same old Lions.
Yeah, boy, that draft now historically bad, too. In
yeah.
hindsight, Baylor, I believe it was Baylor, Jason Smith.
Second overall.
He's out of the league now. Talking Mark Sanchez, overpaid disaster of a quarterback. Josh Freeman, literally inactive and healthy for the Minnesota Vikings. Just a whole bunch of problems. I believe that was either the Golston year or the Aaron Maben year as well.
Yeah, I think you're right about Maben.
That draft is going to, the 2009 yeah. draft will go down as probably the worst draft in the history of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when every player in the NFL came out of college. I don't know when mm-hmm. they all got drafted, but I couldn't name you another player.
No.
Matt Stafford's going to be the only guy from that draft that people look at. And
seriously.
Be like, huh, that was it.
Like two shattered collarbones and whatever other injuries he suffered later. He's going to end up being the number one pick and the best player to come out of that draft. That's amazing. That's absolutely
and
amazing.
He's already the best quarterback in Detroit Lions history, and he's played on the team for 4 years.
So sad. 4 years, but literally started games worth about 2.5.
Yeah.
Not great. But back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week, they got their first win of the season against the mess of the Miami Dolphins that we just talked about. They're destroyed right now. The offensive line in total flux, missing two starters. The offense was already very, very subpar. The rushing attack, not very good. The receivers, the Mike Wallace contract is going to look very bad for them for very long years.
Yeah, I don't know. Coming into the season, I thought people were sleeping on the Dolphins because I thought people were underrating Tannehill personally.
See,
I didn't think he was great, but I don't think that he's any worse than, you know, I don't think he's a bottom 20 guy.
No. I wasn't sleeping on the Dolphins. I really thought this was a year that they would make a jump. Cameron Wake on they have a very good
yeah.
defense, and their offense had the makings of a very good team. Brian Hartline, Mike Wallace, kind of a two-headed running attack.
And
Neither of them are great.
And then
but
Brandon Gibson, too. Great possession receiver, great
yeah.
slot guy.
I mean, I don't think they were 11-5 or anything, but this is a team who could challenge a lot of teams in the AFC.
But, yeah, and that division was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like,
Buffalo is.
But I guess we all thought the Jets would be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
I personally didn't think the Jets would win, you know, 3 games.
I didn't think they'd be 5-4 right now, that's for sure.
And I thought the Pats would be down too, so I thought this was the year the Dolphins could do it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's falling off the wagon.
3-0, and we're a long way from there now.
Yeah. It's really falling off the wagon. They're now at the point with the receiver. When your star is, he stopped complaining because at this point, it's not going to happen. Tannehill and him clearly just don't have the connection for it.
It's
not great.
Mike Wallace doesn't run routes. He runs in straight lines down
yeah.
the field.
He's a speed guy. And I remember hearing people say that Antonio Brown can do everything Mike Wallace did, but better. And that's why Pittsburgh
yes.
let him walk. And it turns out maybe they were right. They were very right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened last week? Tampa Bay got the win, and their first touchdown came courtesy of left tackle Donald Penn. Okay, now Greg Schiano, obviously, like I mentioned, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay, it was third and goal, one to go. Mike James already out of the game, now out for the season. So they're already down another running back there in Tampa. Now, what Schiano ended up calling is not the first time it's been called, and I believe Bill Belichick had a modified version of this that was
Yeah, with Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel. This was unstoppable.
He had 10 career receptions, and all 10 of them all were touchdowns.
A remarkable career for Mike Vrabel to do that. So during the timeout of this third down, Shiano almost got scared off of a play call because he saw something on the Jumbotron.
That sounds so Shiano.
It does, because first of all, are there that many? I mean, outside of...
You're coaching the game. Why are you watching the Jumbotron?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Literally, the only time you should see a head coach looking at the Jumbotron is when they're trying to decide if they want to challenge a play.
Yeah, or if they're, like, coming out of the locker room at halftime.
Yeah, but even then, they have guys up in the booths and the offices from their own team saying, yeah, that's worth a challenge. We see it, you know, probably later than the coaches actually see it. Yeah. There's really no need for him to look at the Jumbotron ever. Ever. But he does, and what he sees up there is like a highlight package from Donald Penn's 10th anniversary in the league, something like that.
Which, that's another thing. Who has highlight packages of an offensive lineman that they throw up on the Jumbotron?
Yeah. Ugh.
What is that?
My goodness, yuck. They're playing it. What they started doing was they played Donald Penn's only other previous NFL catch.
I don't understand that. Why? I just don't understand why that video would even be at the ready.
Doesn't make sense. Somebody knew something apparently down there, and they showed his other previous career catch also went for a touchdown. Greg Schiano apparently almost changed the call. His coaching staff had to talk him out of it and say, no, no, no. Just keep the play call the way it was. He almost got scared away from a Jumbotron. I cannot wait for other teams to play the Bucs after reading this, because I want them to just start showing all types of crazy plays on the Jumbotron tempting him.
They have more highlight video of the Bucs than they do of their own team playing on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, we're here to celebrate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today.
If you put enough plays strung together in one video, Greg Schiano will absolutely just freeze, and it'll just be delay of game after delay of game while his head turns to gravy.
Yeah, my goodness. There's instances, and this is definitely one of them, TJ, where you hear about stuff like this with an NFL head coach, and I'm in the same line with a guy like Doug Marone, whatever, however you pronounce that name, who won't use CJ Spiller. Against every logic in the world, he won't use CJ Spiller. And then a guy like Bruce Arians.
Doesn't like his attitude. He's Joey Crawfording him.
And then Bruce Arians, by all accounts, a great coach and did a great job as the coordinator in Pittsburgh, a great job filling in a head coach for the Colts, goes down to Arizona and decides, no, I'm not going to give the dynamic Andre Ellington more touches. I need to keep Rashard Mendenhall in there with 2 yards a carry.
It's like I told you, man, 2 yards per carry is a valuable commodity in this league.
You run that 5 times in a row, you have a first down. That's how the game works.
That's how my coaches told me that 1 year I played football.
That's how it works,
guys. If we get 2 yards on first down, 2 yards on second down, and 2 yards on third down, and then 2 yards on fourth down,
we have a manageable fifth down situation.
And then 2 more yards on fifth down, that's a first down.
Yep, and that's a drive. That's a drive. That's what we call that.
That's just time of possession.
Yeah. It's so hard to predict the NFL sometimes. And
I mean, unless you're us.
But that's why you got the gurus here. That's why you got the gurus here, everybody. Here for another week. Week 11 action, like we mentioned. Got your best fantasy plays. Not your best fantasy plays. And I feel like we need to mention this every few weeks, because I don't want people to start thinking, we're not Nader Time.
We're not taking the easy way out.
No. I mean, I recommended Chris Durham last week.
While we will recommend that you play Calvin Johnson.
Yes.
That's not what this segment is about.
No, and I would not tell you to sit any of your perennial starters for any of the players you and I are about to mention, TJ. Under no circumstances.
Right.
You know, your top guys are your top guys. Never bench them. Don't make them, you know, no need to. Okay? Matchup based, no. You do not draft Calvin Johnson and bench him because you don't like him going up against a matchup.
Taylor.
Yeah, no. You put him in there and you're confident that he's a superstar because he is. So those are the type of plays we're giving you this week. Those mid-level plays where if you don't have an elite quarterback and you're kind of struggling with who to play, you know, maybe you just lost Jake Locker. Maybe you've lost one of the other dozens of players that have been injured or benched this year.
Yeah, so if you're playing fantasy football, we can give you some guys that will replace one of your injured spots.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Do you think there's a single team in America that hasn't had an injury?
Zero chance.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance.
There's been so many.
Absolutely baffling. Player injuries have been. Oh.
Yeah, it's not fourth wide receivers. It's Julio Jones, Reggie Wayne, Jake Locker, and it's just a litany.
It's ugly out there. We mentioned it last week. It's very ugly. That's why some of these names you might be kind of grossed out by. But the fact is, these are very viable options for a lot of people out there who are really struggling trying to make a push for the playoffs in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is the state of fantasy football right now. Bobby Rainey is a legitimate option at running back, and he started the year as, what, the fourth or fifth running back for the Cleveland Browns?
And now he's in Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, and he might start.
It's insanity. Absolute insanity. Well, my first quarterback for this week, TJ, and I don't have many stats to back this up because it's Carson Palmer at Jacksonville. His numbers speak for themselves. He is what he is. He's never been a top-tier quarterback. He's in his mid-30s. He's not going to become a top-tier quarterback.
He had 1 year.
He did. He had that, where he had Chad Ochocinco.
And he's been living his entire career off that 1 year ever since.
And he's making money. He's the quarterback for Arizona, arguably probably shouldn't be. You know, there's probably Drew Stanton behind him that could make more plays than he does right now and has more potential to open that offense up than Carson Palmer does.
I bet he'd throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald more.
Yeah, exactly. I bet Larry Fitzgerald's got to be sitting down there thinking, all right, I got a quarterback. And then 4 weeks in going, oh, this again? You know, what a sad state down there.
I mean, I know he's like an Arizona Cardinal for life, but he's got to be considering leaving, right? It's been one thing after another for so long. He had those, 3 years with Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
And he was really happy about that.
And then Bolden
signed a big contract extension, and then Kurt Warner retired, and it's been sadness ever since.
It's been really sad for him. But the fact of the matter is Carson Palmer is against Jacksonville. And anybody against Jacksonville is usually a recommended start, especially in a situation like this.
Even Ryan Fitzpatrick put together a decent stat line against the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, for Carson Palmer, this is a nice matchup for a guy who's used to San Francisco twice, Seattle twice.
Oh, yeah.
The Ball Hawk St. Louis offense twice.
These guys are so wide open.
This is going to be a different thing for him. So Carson Palmer at Jacksonville, a nice pickup for you this week if you need a flyer for a week. And the second bet, he's not... Not an overly sleeper play, but Terrell Pryor, if he could stay off the injury report, this kid has really shown a lot of ability to be one of the more explosive players in the NFL at the quarterback position. But like I said, he can't stay off the injury report. Now, the Houston defense, they appear to be just totally different from what they were a year ago. Just not getting turnovers, not getting to the quarterback. They're not doing much of anything other than give up a lot of points.
Cut Ed Reed.
Yeah, and then they caught Ed Reed, the guy they gave $6 million to in the offseason.
Seems like they probably should have re-signed Glover Quinn.
Yep, thank you.
We appreciate it.
But right now, like I mentioned, Houston can't get to the quarterback or make him throw interceptions, and that's Pryor's Achilles heel, as he has thrown inopportune interceptions. And I honestly think this week Terrell Pryor may run wild if he plays. He was practicing today. It looks like he's going to take a stab at it this week.
Well, that's the thing I always like about quarterbacks like Terrell Pryor. I forget exactly who their opponent was. It might have been San Diego. First play of the game, Terrell Pryor runs for a 96-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the game, I actually think his points went down because he threw a bunch of interceptions.
Yeah.
But he ended up with a fine stat line because of that one huge play. That's what he brings. That's that potential he brings.
He's big play potential.
If he puts it all together in one game, he could be a top five quarterback for the week.
Absolutely. And he could, a lot of weeks, he could absolutely do that. TJ, your two quarterbacks.
I also have a guy that's not necessarily a sleeper, but I sort of think of him as a sleeper because I kind of, on a weekly basis, trying to decide between him or another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a top five fantasy quarterback.
That's crazy to think about, by the way.
But, I mean, for most people, like myself, he was the second quarterback you drafted, so you've got a guy in front of him that, if you took Tom Brady or, like I did, Colin Kaepernick, and every week it's like, well, I guess we'll just do this based on matchups. I mean, I think Russell Wilson's a must start at this point. If he is the second quarterback you drafted, he needs to be the one you start because unless you have Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, he's better than anyone else.
And he's having a very good year. Now, if Russell Wilson did not have the rushing attempts and the yardage that he does, this is a guy who that team gets away from passing the ball
Oh, yeah. But
very good, very quickly.
But that's why he, I mean, that's why he is a top five fantasy quarterback, because he runs the ball. He runs the ball better than anyone else in the league right now, other than maybe Terrell Pryor. But I just feel like there's this like perception that Russell Wilson is like a middling fantasy quarterback, or that he's not a legitimate option, and he is. I mean, he's one of the best options in the league. As far as this week, should be getting Percy Harvin back, so that should help that pass game. But I mean, wide receivers are not a huge red zone threat. You know, he really looks to call his own number in those situations. He's got tons of rushing yardage, lots of rushing touchdowns, and that's, you know, what you like to see.
Yeah, he does put a lot of attempts up there.
And then the second guy I've got is Case Keenum from the Houston Texans. I've actually had the misfortune of watching a couple of Houston Texans games in the past few weeks because they've been on primetime.
Yeah.
I thought he's been pretty impressive. He's got an arm. You know, he still makes some bad decisions, but he's throwing the ball to Andre Johnson, and that's always a good decision.
That's exactly what any Houston quarterback should be doing.
Yep, and I think that's why he's starting over Shaw. You know, he's still got some kinks to work out, but, I mean, if you are one of those people that had, you know, Jake Locker go down this week, and he was already your replacement for Michael Vick when he went down, you know, Case Keenum could have a solid week against a brutal Oakland defense.
Oakland is not good.
Made Nick Foles look like Peyton Manning.
Foles is Peyton Manning.
he actually might as well be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Nick Foles numbers this year, this year, what is he, 13-0 in terms of touchdown and
16.
Interception at 16 now?
I think so.
Unbelievable how he hasn't done that, and I'm glad to have him in a couple of my leagues. Moving on to the running back situation, this is bad. This is ugly down there.
I think the running back has got to be the most it's got to have ruined more fantasy seasons.
Does. Absolutely. Yeah. And stuff like the C.J. Spiller thing that ruined fantasy seasons by not even being hurt, but just by having a terrible head coach.
Yeah, or Trent Richardson just being terrible.
Yeah, he's not very good. My first running back, I'm going to go with Brian Leonard, the Tampa Bay running back. He got 20 carries last week.
He did.
After Mike James went down. 20! Now, this is a guy who he is what he is. He's been in the league a long time. He's going straight north-south. He's not doing anything fancy with it. But Atlanta is in a bad, bad way right now. That is not a very good team. The receiving core of Tampa Bay underperforming. Rookie quarterback behind there. This guy's the third running back option, and he honestly is their best option on offense right now. It's gotten that ugly. He is in line for legitimately possibly 20 carries, which I don't care who the guy is. If anybody's in line 20. For 20 carries, you snack him up. You snag him up, and you start him. Because something's going to happen. At minimum, you're talking 80 yards, probably maybe a plunge if they can get near the goal line. I think he's in line for a decent-looking afternoon. The second running back I ever shot, Jennings, this week at Houston, this Oakland-Houston game, just ripe for performances because both teams look so bad.
Defenses are bad.
They are bad. And Rashad Jennings filling in for the often-injured Darren McFadden. Now, I've been impressed by Jennings in his fill-in time this year for McFadden.
Even last year when he played for the Jags,
exactly.
he had some big games filling in for Maurice Jones-Drew.
He's done well. He's very shifty. Houston defense not very efficient. He could be in line for about 12 to 15 carries, 5 catches out of the backfield. This is a guy who is running at a running back 2 or a flex spot right now. You would be very happy to have him this week in this matchup.
Yeah, I also have Rashad Jennings. I mean, I think he's a lot like Brian Leonard in that he's virtually guaranteed to have 20 touches this week. And he had 20 carries last week, 4.4 yards per carry. You know, wasn't explosive last week, but the week before, you know, showed some speed, showed some ability to break some tackles and bust off some big gains.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's the only option they have in the backfield, really. I mean, Marcel Reese, last year, folklore hero of fantasy seasons, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
Marcel Reese was huge. They keep saying every week, oh, we need to get Marcel Reese more involved. And then he carries the ball one time for 3 yards. I mean, Reese is not dynamic by any means, but he was a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and he did carry the ball well for them last year. So there must be something this year. I don't know if he's out of shape or
a little
banged up or, maybe C.J. Spiller case.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, Rashad Jennings, he's the only option there. So
that's how sad it is.
He's a starting runner, running back in the NFL, so you start him.
Right now, it doesn't matter the talent level. No. If he's a starting running back in the NFL, he should be rostered everywhere.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not like he's facing, you know, the Kansas City defense.
No, yeah, yeah.
This is the Houston Texans.
This microphone's going to break at any second.
Well, that is not surprising to anyone in this building.
No. Okay, I think we're good. I'm just not going to touch it.
Okay, and then the second guy I have is Donald Brown of the Indianapolis Colts, because he is whooping Trent Richardson's butt. And I mean, he's turned that. They traded for Trent Richardson in, what was it, week two, week three?
Yeah, it was early.
And Trent Richardson has since done nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And Donald Brown has made this a 50-50 timeshare.
That's so sad.
It is sad. I mean, Cleveland is thrilled. Clearly, I mean, you look back on that trade, and at the time, I thought it was hilarious because I thought the Browns were terrible. And
yeah. A lot of people eating crow on this deal.
He was their most exciting player, but you look at it, and you look at the numbers of Trent Richardson, and you kind of squint your eyes because it's not like he was that dynamic the year before either.
No, and I'm going to try to pull that audio from when we had our preview episode this offseason, TJ. I said the exact same thing about Richardson. I was hesitant to even mention him because he was a guy who he piled up some yards, but he was literally getting the most touches in the NFL last year out of the backfield. And anybody getting that amount of carries is going to pile up yards. But you look at his yards per carry, yards after contact, it was not very good. Add that into the fact that he does nothing in terms of pass-catching ability. He may have been the best-looking running back coming out of college, but he has not exploded onto the scene. He has not done much of anything in the NFL, and I've been very weary of him. And I did still think the trade was bad for Cleveland. I'm not going to deny that at all. But there's a lot of people, you and I both included right now, eating crow with this thing because Cleveland looks genius.
I wasn't as down on that trade as most people right after it happened. I mean,
a first-round pick's some good quality to get back.
It made a lot of sense for Cleveland because they weren't going anywhere. And then it turned out that, you know, they ripped off four straight wins after that. But, I mean, Donald Brown has shown more speed, more elusiveness, more pass-catching ability, more ability to break tackle. I mean, he's literally better than Trent Richardson in every facet right now.
It's weird. Donald Brown been in the league. He was a second-round pick, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Been with Indy his whole career. And it's weird how he has just seemed to take this Trent Richardson thing almost personally, I don't know, and just really just started to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, with Donald Brown, it's not like he's been a terrible running back in this league.
He's just always been splitting.
Yeah, he's had great seasons and as a lead back, too. I mean, he's had opportunities to be a lead back, and he's made the most of those.
Yeah.
But for some reason, everyone seems to think Donald Brown is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's bad at all. I would love to have Donald Brown on the Lions.
You got to wonder where that Indianapolis running back position goes next year. Do you just really say this is your job, Trent, and try to open him up a little bit more, make him a little more elusive? I don't know what you do if you're Indy. You can't give up on the guy.
I don't think Indianapolis offensive line is very good. But
no, and it hasn't been with Peyton Manning.
I mean, they have Gossard Chereles.
As the highest paid.
As the left tackle of that offensive line.
Oh, that's so sad.
That is sad.
So glad he's gone.
Just know how badly we feel that Gostar Chereles is protecting Andrew Luck's blind side.
Yeah, because we know.
That is a bold strategy.
Yeah, he was protecting not Matthew Stafford's non-blind side and still got routinely beat.
Yep. Lots of holding penalties, lots of false starts.
Lots of holds. It was ugly.
I haven't seen a lot of Colts games, but I could almost guarantee that they're pretty frustrated there.
And they gave him a big, big old deal there, too. 5 years, $35 million.
But, yeah, last thing on Donald Brown, I mean, is the red zone. Because Trent Richardson is billed as a power back. And that's where power backs are supposed to make their hay, but that's not the case. Because Donald Brown is getting equal amounts of red zone touches as Trent Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's getting – it's literally 50-50 in every possible way.
It's – boy, if you're an Indy fan, maybe you're kind of scratching your head and just hoping and praying this kid actually does turn out because he wouldn't be the first-round draft pick bust.
No.
I mean, and he won't be the last.
And especially at the running back position, that's a really hard transition to make from college to the NFL.
I mean, honestly, it's starting to look more and more like Eddie Lacy is going to end up being the superior Alabama running back to come out of college in the last few years.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Surprising.
Mark Ingram won a Heisman, and then Trent Richardson was a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, and Eddie Lacy's going to end up being the best. He is having a really, really good year. Moving on to wide receivers, TJ. My first one, I'm going with Brandon LaFell, and this is a guy who it's bad. But he's been taking some strides the last few weeks. Now, the reason I picked him this week is Aqib Talib's supposed to be back, and he's going to be shadowing Steve Smith on Monday Night Football. And
Steve Smith's still alive?
Steve Smith's still alive, still somewhere near a football field, apparently.
He is on the field. His pads and jersey are on.
Yeah, he found a helmet. They let him put it on. But
he's near the football in the same way that we are near the river right
yeah,
now.
Exactly. Yeah, we're in a vicinity where we share space with the river.
Like, we can see it.
Yeah, exactly. but the thing with Steve Smith, he's going to be shadowed by Talib, and the rest of the New England secondary is just not very good. He would have to be the guy to get the looks. Greg Olsen and Brandon LaFell. He's made a few moves in the past few weeks, got a long touchdown catch 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he's the number two guy in Carolina, but for this week, it's a pretty nice matchup, a New England secondary that's not very good, and a matchup where he should get some targets. Steve Smith's undersized against literally the biggest cornerback in the league in Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
He's a big man right there who shut down Jimmy Graham about 4 weeks ago.
Aqib Talib has really turned his career around.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
He was brutal his first few years in the league. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a culture down there.
Aqib Talib hasn't played since week six, but he is on track to play this week. And like I said, he'll be on Steve Smith, who's undersized and really makes things happen by his shiftiness. You're not going to be able to do that on Talib. So Brandon LaFell should be more open against that secondary and should garner some targets. The second guy, I figured, I went to the well once. It worked so well, TJ. So week two in a row, I'm going to recommend Chris Durham. I'm going to recommend the Vanilla Gorilla. Durham at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh defense 2 weeks removed from an absolute shredding by the unknown wide receivers of New England.
Aaron Dobson. How does that make you feel?
Kembrell Tompkins with the game winner. Nice TD last week for Chris Durham. Burleson's going to be out again, so he should see the field enough for a few looks. Ike Taylor. He's old, and
he's
going to be on Megatron, so that's not going to slow Megatron down very much, but he is a better cornerback. I mean, you look at what Megatron ended up doing last week, Calvin Johnson. Peanut Tillman went out midway through the game, now out for the year, and Megatron started seeing a lot more looks. I look at Tillman and Taylor in similar fashion, similar regard. They're not going to shut him down, but you're also not going to see 329 yards out of Calvin Johnson. And Durham, listen, this is a guy who, his role on this team, I feel like if the Lions cut him tomorrow, nobody would pick him up because there's so many guys that can do this job that Chris Durham does.
Yeah.
Now, he had a very, very good play down the field 2 weeks ago against Dallas.
But that was also about as perfect of a throw as could ever be made.
Exactly.
So, I mean, all he had to do was stick his arms out.
Yeah. But it's going to open up a few holes again for Durham, and I've mentioned it before the season, during the season, and now, this Pittsburgh defense is old. They cannot keep up with many players. They're going to have to at least double up. They're going to have Polamalu shadowing Ike Taylor and helping him over the top on Calvin a lot. And that's going to open up the middle of the football field. And with no Burleson, Chris Durham's the guy. As sad as that may sound, Durham may be in line for another easy TD catch.
I mean, honestly, probably the best part of that Pittsburgh defense is the secondary, which that's not going to be good for your passing game.
No.
I always get frustrated with Lions fans who say, we need to draft shutdown corner, because that's not where, pass defense starts. It's on the defensive line and linebackers' ability to drop back in coverage and cover some zones. The Pittsburgh Steelers have no defensive line or linebackers.
The days of
James Ferrier and James Harrison and Lamar Woodley is a nice defensive end, but actually, he's an outside linebacker in that, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was better with James Harrison on the team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the only piece they have, and he can't do it himself.
Yeah, no. He's not a franchise linebacker.
No, not by any means. My two wide receivers, I'm also going back to the well on one. Golden Tate worked out for me last week.
That was a huge week for him.
Loved him last week. 100 yards, TD. Some big points there. Minnesota Vikings, bad.
Very
bad,
bad
team.
Very, very bad.
And if Percy Harvin's back, even though he'll probably see a lot of targets, I think that would work out well for Golden Tate, who shown ability to separate from man, he'll probably see a lot less tighter coverage, a lot fewer double teams, probably be one-on-one most of the day.
Yeah. And well, and you figure Harvard's going to be on some kind of a pitch count as well this week, first week back from, you know, what was it, hip surgery this time? Who knows? I have no idea what it was with Harvin.
And even though Harvin's there, Harvin is not a red zone threat. I mean, Golden Tate's the guy there, too. So just like last week, he could catch a six-yard touchdown pass, and, you know, that solidifies day.
That's all you need.
Yep.
All you need is one TD.
The second wide receiver I have, this guy's a little bit down the depth chart, coming back this week from an injury. It's Santonio Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going to be the number one option. He's really going to be the only option for Geno Smith to throw to because it's pretty desolate out there. The only thing to look out for is the Jets really are at their best when they run the ball a billion times. So they might try and do that, but then again, you never know because they did that.
Still
and
the
Jets. They did that and they beat the Saints, and then they did not do that the next week.
Yeah.
Who knows why?
Blown out.
Who knows why? You know, it's Buffalo. The defense is better than, you know, it seems like they are, but Holmes shredded them earlier this year. 154 yards and a touchdown.
You don't know what you're going to get with New York. You're either going to get that team who looks like somehow they can hang with the best offenses by their defense in the league, but then you'll see them come out and lose by 40 points the next week. It's crazy.
It really does depend on Geno Smith.
I mean,
obviously, he's throwing him the ball, but Santonio Holmes has proven in the past that he can get open. All he has to do is have the ball waiting for him. I mean, he makes plays. He still does.
Yeah, the last game he played had a 150-yard game and a touchdown. I mean, he still has playmaking. He has playmaking ability, and like, you know, Jeremy Curley's hurt. They don't have anybody there. I mean, Santonio Holmes is the guy.
Kellen Winslow's coming back this week, but
there it is.
There you go, franchise
Turner. It's turning around up in New York. Moving on to tight ends, we mentioned it last week. No need to reiterate the death trap that is the tight end position this year. TJ,
it's not good. Brandon Pettigrew is looking like a quality tight end.
He really is. That's so sad. I'm going with a guy who has been snagged up in a lot of leagues, but John Carlson at Seattle this week.
Also have John Carlson for me too.
Wow. I mean, I don't understand the disconnect because Kyle Rudolph, by every circumstance, is more talented than John Carlson. But John Carlson comes in last week, catches a few easy touchdown passes, has a great day in relief after Rudolph goes down. Playing again this week in Rudolph's place at Seattle. Ponder's in real trouble there.
Yes. I saw an absurd stat about Christian Ponder. He had not thrown before last week a pass more than 30 yards downfield in over 2 months.
No, that's how you win football games. I mean, he's on the road, the best secondary in football, with inferior receivers. Cordarrelle Patterson and Jerome Simpson aren't going to get past that secondary in Seattle.
Well, that's why they drafted Cordarrelle Patterson, is to run go routes, and Ponder just won't throw them.
Now, Rudolph out, like we mentioned, Carlson coming off a great week. He's in line for a lot of looks. Those receivers are going to be locked down. You do not be surprised to see a nice... I mean, he might... I don't know about the yardage, but there's a good chance Carlson's going to catch 8 to 10 balls this week. I really think so.
He's really strong. Backs and tight ends in this game are going to see a lot of receptions from, you know, Christian checkdown.
Yep.
That's all I have. I have John Carlson as well. I think Brandon Pettigrew will have a great week this week, too.
That's so sad. He's becoming... From a Lions fan, I don't know if many people understand this, he's becoming a security blanket for Matt Stafford, which
he's catching literally the balls that are thrown to him.
8 weeks ago would have sounded insane, let alone a year ago.
In a way, it still sounds absurd,
but then
you look at it, and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it is still absurd, though. Moving on to our picks for the week, though, first game on the docket, and this schedule's pretty rough this week. I looked around, and I try to pick every week the four best matchups, maybe division matchup, winning records preferable. This was the fourth best. It was either going to be this or Lions at Pittsburgh.
Battle of Ohio here.
Yeah, it was either going to be this game or Lions at Pittsburgh, and I don't think anybody else wants to hear you and I go, yeah, we're going to take the Lions again.
Lions are sweet. Everyone else suck it.
That's not very interesting. It's not very informative. So I decided to hold off on that game. So Cleveland Browns on the road to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, what you will be surprised to hear is that the Cleveland Browns are merely 1.5 games out of the division lead.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
That's insane.
I mean, even though
that division's so mediocre,
it's less than mediocre. Mm-hmm. It is brutal. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are doing their very best to give it away
they
to whoever
are.
Wants it.
Andy Dalton just falls on his face every other week. It's baffling to me how he has not matured.
It is to me. They got such a miraculous... No, they lost last week.
They lost,
but they
shouldn't have even forced overtime.
I mean, that's the team that the Bengals are. And they're in the lead. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, which is not much.
No, not much.
I'm still going to take the Bengals this
week. I'll take the Bengals. They're the home team, the Cleveland. If this is the Browns team with Brian Hoyer, now in what universe do you think we would be saying this?
What is this NFL season?
If this is the Browns team.
Oh, my God,
team,
if only we had Brian Hoyer.
You know,
we would be
really
Super Bowl pound.
I really think Brian Hoyer's the difference maker this week. Never should that have been said.
You know what? If Kellen Moore ever gets his chance, he'll take a team to the
Super Bowl. Right, you watch. And I'm going to burn the studio down. I'm never recording again. But we're both going to take the Bengals at home, but now watch Dalton just, like, throw the football between his own legs into the air.
I will be interested to see how A.J. Green handles Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden pretty much locks down everyone he faces, so that'll be interesting. But A.J. Green's also very good, so.
Yeah. Now, the next matchups here, they all are the top of the schedule this week is very good. These next three games look nice on paper. The San Francisco 49ers on the road against New Orleans Saints.
I don't think this game look. This game only looks good on paper because people still remember that playoff game from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's why this one looks attractive. I don't think this game's going to be that close.
No, this could easily be one of those New Orleans games where they drop a 48 bomb on you.
Oh, yeah.
But it could also be one where they disappoint. Who do they?
The Jets.
The Jets, you know, 17 points. And San Francisco's defense, by all accounts, is probably superior to the Jets.
Yeah, and I mean, the 49ers run game is probably a little bit better than the Jets with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell.
I mean, it's tough to go on the road at New Orleans, so that's not an easy environment to play in. I think we're both taking the Saints here.
Oh, yeah, especially after last week's dismantling. They're in such a groove right now.
Yeah, they really are, and that defense looks much improved down there since last year and the last 2 years, really. They look so much better.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a team like the Carolina Panthers who have five number one wide receivers because no one's very good.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints are the opposite. They have five very good number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do you guard?
That's
exactly why you
should avoid drafting them.
Yeah.
The next game on the docket. Now, this is the one everyone's going to be talking about this weekend, TJ. The Kansas City Chiefs. First matchup of the year against the Denver Broncos. One's undefeated, the other 8-1. For the division lead, Kansas City on the road. What do you think?
I'm always weary of picking against the Broncos in Denver because of altitude. But I think this Kansas City defense is very, very good. And I think this is the one defense that can stop this offense. And I think they will. I'll take the Chiefs.
Wow, on the road.
I will take the Chiefs because, you know, Peyton Manning's a little bit hobbled. You know, I guess it doesn't matter as long as he's not facing a ton of pressure, but, you know, Kansas City Chiefs get after it, man.
Yeah.
They make it happen on defense.
Now, here's my problem with this game, and it's the same thing that I don't think the hobbling is going to affect Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning barely moves back there anyway, not even to step up in the pocket. He's that decisive and quick, and he's very good at it. The problem is, though, that Denver Broncos, 3 weeks ago, I would have told you the Denver Broncos will win this in a runaway.
Yeah.
But now I've seen their offensive line and their inability to stop the pass rush, and it makes me nervous. It really does.
And the defense is bad.
The defense
frankly.
Is not very good. They don't get after the quarterback. But here's my thing. This defense can have a decent day against Kansas City because that offense appears so vanilla out of Kansas City. They don't do anything overly special. They really don't.
No, but I mean, Jamal Charles, that's all you need. All you need to do is get him the ball with space, and who knows? You know, he can do anything.
I think Denver wins this. I don't think they win it comfortably, but I'm going to take the home team here. Altitude, I don't know how much of a factor it'll be, but this is going to be a raucous crowd. Division lead on the line here. Denver, if they lose this game, can you imagine like a 13-3 wild card team from Denver? That would be insanity. And if they lose this game, that's realistic because you're now talking 2-game lead for Kansas City. Home game to play against Denver to go in a tiebreaker, essentially. So I think Denver comes out ready for this one. I think they end up pulling it off.
I'm really excited to see this game.
This is going
to
be good.
I want to see if Kansas City has been listening to everyone say how lucky they've been with scheduling and having to play everyone's backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see if Alex Smith you know, wants to come out and try and send a message here.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what, and just in hindsight, hope Philadelphia fans are enjoying their season. Battling there, 10-6 must have gotten kind of boring. So thanks for turning over Andy Reid to the Chiefs.
Must have sucked going to 6th Street.
Yeah,
NFC Championship.
Boy, yeah, let's run that quarterback out of town, right?
What a brutal franchise.
Yeah, can't keep that quarterback. No. Kick him out. Must be
can't
miserable.
Get it done.
Now, Monday Night Football this week, New England Patriots on the road at Carolina. Like we mentioned, Carolina coming off the impressive upset victory over the 49ers. New England, I believe, coming off their bye week. Probably a little healthier, getting Shane Vereen back, I believe, this week. But it is still a road game against a really, really stout Carolina
D. Really surprised.
They're stuffing teams.
Yeah, I mean, they were decent last year. Yeah. The defense was okay last year, and it was okay for most of this year. But the last few weeks, it's been like,
what is this? Yeah, unreal.
Shoot. I gotta take the Panthers. They really showed something to me last week, I think, playing the 49ers. You know, Cam Newton had a miserable day, and they still pulled out a win. You know, I don't think he's going to be that bad against the Patriots.
It's going to be hard to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. It's a long work week for Carolina. They get the Monday night following the Sunday game. But cross country's never easy. Going from Carolina to San Francisco back to Carolina, two really tough opponents. New England's no joke there, as bad as the receiving core might be. Like I mentioned, Shane Vereen probably going to be back this week. I'm actually going to take the Patriots on the road coming off a bye. Bill Belichick knows how to get a team ready, especially when you give them an extra week. Get them a little healthier. I like the Patriots to be able to pull this one off on the road. Carolina is good. Do not get me wrong. And if you ask me right now, I think I'll tell you Carolina is a wild card in the NFC.
I wouldn't want to play Carolina.
I don't want to play that. I would not want to play that defense. I don't know any of their stars on that team, but boy, do they work well together on defense.
Yeah, the only name on that team I know is Luke Kuechly.
That's it.
Yeah,
he's what, second year for is he a rookie?
Second year
linebacker, incredible player.
Julius Peppers no longer plays for that team.
Yeah, it's pretty baffling how they're doing what they're doing, but they look great right now. I'm going to take the road team though. New England, you're going to take Carolina. So we have a couple differences of opinions. Either way though, the top of that slate, those top three games, the top two especially, look great.
I'm not extremely interested in New Orleans, San Francisco's, but that. Kansas City at Denver, can't wait for that one.
It's a huge
New England at Carolina.
Big Monday night game.
Could do without it, but I will watch it because...
I'll follow it.
I'll have it on in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all we got for this week. Plenty of content, as always, and somehow we stretch this thing out into 90 minutes plus, as we like to do for you every week.
That's how we jump up. That's how we're going to... That's
how we're going to pass the Mai Tai, guys, and pass the West Virginia Church, and I'm going to throw this microphone if we don't.
I'd be interested to see what sports podcasts are ahead of us, see what kind of awesome names they have.
Yeah, I'll have to look into those rankings. At Riding the Pine 3 on Twitter, hit us up there. Facebook.com/Riding the Pine is the Facebook address to get a hold of us there. Fantasy football questions, any other story links you think are interesting, want to know our thoughts on, use those two avenues to get a hold of us. We always appreciate the interaction, everybody, you know, asking us stuff and talking to us, and always like keeping in touch with everybody.
I do have to say this. What's his name? Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Chris asked me on Twitter at my personal account about a fantasy hockey trade. Chris, I will answer you by saying I'm not going to discuss fantasy hockey with you. I'm sorry.
We're finally putting the foot down on that one, okay?
We tried it for 1 year. It was cute.
It was.
But I'm not doing it.
It was. No. Grow up.
Figure it out yourself.
And plus, Chris, time to grow up. Ask the show page. Okay? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. That's a Bush League move. Don't try and jump.
No, don't hide it.
Don't try and jump the hierarchy.
No, right? No, that's not how it works. You ask the show page, and then we may delegate. But what we're probably going to do is retweet you and then mock you for asking about fantasy hockey trade, you animal. Should be disgusted.
Yeah, join your compadre in Wyoming.
Disgusted.
You guys should shack up.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll refer you to Nader Tot, and you know how his advice works. Yuck.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sidney Crosby wasn't even mentioned in this trade. Yeah, but Sidney Crosby.
Oh, God, miserable.
Whatever, Jimmy Howard sucks.
I already don't want him back when he is home for the holidays. I'm actually rethinking my decision.
Yeah, as you should be.
That's all we got for this week. Until next time, this is Riding the Pine.